Sentinel Online. Now loading all things Transformers.
Be sure to check out All Things Transformers with Steve Megatron and TFG1 Mike.
Hi, this is Larry DiTullio, writer for He-Man and Beast Wars, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You're listening to All Things Transformers, version 2.0. Transformers!
Into a giant mud pit, the Beast Unleashed podcast.
This is Megatron. This is the glorious Megatron. And this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers version 2.0. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me again is Mike TFG1 Blanchard and Pecan Court Michael. Hello, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Going good. Yes, we are continuing our Transformers retrospective here with Beast Wars.
Retrospective means to look back.
Yes, we know. Thank you, Mr. Obvious. Yeah, I actually just did this a while ago. I feel like I've already done the Beast Wars retrospective since I rewatched the whole series and wrote up a new blog post about it earlier last year.
The whole series?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
His pants are full.
My pants are full. I'm that's surprising. I mean that is a lot of time to sit down in front of the TV.
Well, I sit in front of my computer, and I figure if I sit in front of my computer for 5 crappy seasons of Breaking Bad, I can sit in front of it and enjoy Beast Wars.
Please don't bring that into this show. I really don't want it flooded with comments. Direct hate mail to TFG1 Mike on all social media aspects.
More hate mail than usual? Is that possible?
More email that we actually get now.
Well, it's only counting towards what Mike brings up.
Oh.
Anywho.
What are we here for again? What's going on?
Beast Wars.
Beast Wars. All right, then.
Yes. This is our first time coming back to the series since doing the Beast Unleashed podcast a few years back.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I seem to remember having like a reunion special or something.
No, that was for TFG1.
Maybe.
Yeah, we came back for an episode 25 like 2 years later. So what are you guys' early memories of Beast Wars?
I thought it was Reboot at the time. I got the two mixed up so bad. I was 16. I wasn't really paying attention to cartoons at 6:30 in the morning. I'm like, ooh, wait, that kind of looks like Optimus Prime. Okay, I got to go to school. Bye.
I don't have any early memories. I was in college and working full-time to put myself through college. I didn't really get into Beast Wars until much later because I was like a G1 guy. I was the truck, not monkey guy.
Lord.
Well, I don't know. If I had been one of those guys who was online, you know, doing the Usenet alt.transformers thing, maybe I would have been truck, not monkey. But somewhere around 1998, 1999, I got back into Transformers. like the very tail end of Fusors or something, and you know, didn't really get into it. So it wasn't for when did I get back into Beast Wars? It might have been about the time that we started doing the Beast Wars podcast, maybe 2005. No, that would have been I don't remember. Regardless, it was much later, and then I started watching the show and thinking, wow, this is really cool. I must own all the toys.
And now you do.
And now I do. Most of them, anyway.
Yes.
I think I'm missing some of those Japanese things. Like, there was a Japanese waterfall playset with this frog, and I don't think I have him. And some of those I don't have.
My first foray into Beast Wars, I think I've stated it before, but it was right around the time it came out. I remember watching it on the UPN Power Block, which yep. That dates me some too, just because it's wow. UPN and it's now CW, and it's sad. But anyways, they had a kind of chopped up intro and outro because it mixed with the Power Block. So instead of the whole minute intro, you had 20 seconds. Which, surprisingly, I didn't know the difference until after I got it on DVD.
Wow.
For season one, anyway. Season two and three, I think they put on like Fox or Cartoon Network. Which was horrid.
So you're close enough to Canada to have seen Beasties, right?
No.
I didn't see Beasties. Oh.
I thought that was a sick joke that was being posted around online. I saw Beasties websites, and I'm like, is that a website or something? Because it's called Beast Wars. What the hell? And then I saw the actual intro, and it says, Beasties! And I was like, really? It sounds so awkward, because it's the same intro, and it's the same guys doing the voice, and they go, instead of Beast Wars, it goes, Beasties! And I was like, really?
Really? What exactly is the demographic we're shooting for? Are we shooting for that 12 to 16 market or the 3 to 4 market?
Yeah, little kids going, I watch Beasties!
Yeah, I didn't know about what those Beasties are.
What do they do?
I didn't know about Beasties until I talked with Scott McNeil, and he was referring to it as Beasties because he's Canadian, and that's what they called it there. You know, I should say the entire crew called it that. I thought it was kind of funny.
Renaming it Beasties is kind of like the UK renaming Turtles Hero Turtles instead of Ninja Turtles, since nobody in the UK approves of violence.
Or G.I. Joe Action Force. Or
Action Man.
Transformers War for Cybertron was Cybertron Adventures.
Cool. Yeah, that was the DS port.
Well, that's because it was on Nintendo. We got to be PC about it.
Nintendo, the family-friendly video game company that everybody forgot about.
Give me another Zelda game. There's no violence in Zelda.
As you slash Ganon with your giant sword.
Now, did you guys own any of the video games of Beast Wars?
No. I think that was only you.
Okay. Yeah. It apparently only was me. They had
bought one once, but alas, I did not.
I've played two out of the three. One of them being the original Beast Wars video game, which was, it came out in 97. 98 for the PC and 97 for the PlayStation. I played it on the PC. I actually still have the disc. Whether it plays or not is a different story. But the graphics
still have the system?
What's that?
I said you still have the system?
No, I don't have the system, but I have the program itself. I'm sure I could get it to run.
You never know.
Setting the compatibility mode on Windows so that it runs Windows 95. Or 98 programs, which would be sad.
Yeah.
But it's got these extra-dimensional aliens called the Skriks. which are weird. I almost want to say that that was like pre-VOC or something, that they didn't know what they really wanted to do. And the graphics for this game are atrocious. they're very blocky. Nothing is very smooth to it. Some of the robotic form is, but a lot of it's like very, very low res of everything. They have Primal, Cheetor, Rat Trap, Dinobot, Rhinox, and Air Razor. The funny part is you can't use Rat Trap is only available on like polluted areas. Primal you can use on normal and rescue levels, and then Air Razor you can only use on rescue. And then Predacons, you have Megatron, Scorponok, Tarantulas, Black Arachnia, Inferno, and Pterosaur. But Black Arachnia is the polluted only, and then or unlocked in the polluted, and then Inferno and Pterosaur can do rescue.
Wow.
Which I'm really confused because I've never seen the game, and the premise is going like completely over my head. I'm not sure what Inferno and rescue and...
Well, the rescue is basically if you die and you lose a character. The rescue mission is so that you can revive the character, so you can play them as them again.
Okay.
I guess they made a model for Waspinator, but never actually put him in the game.
Nice.
Yeah, he always gets the shaft.
I remember there were three cheat codes for it for the computer, because I used some of them.
we figured you would.
The sad thing is the game was so damn difficult, I only made it to the second level. Like, because it was so, like, blocky in how it moved and functioned, it was terrible to play. And then the timing for some of the stuff, you'd get hit before you had time to lock onto anything. It was such a, like, batshit terrible game. The only saving grace for it was you could play it on the MSN Gaming Zone back when that was a thing. Now it's like Xbox Live Network or whatever. But back then it was all free and you could play 4-player multiplayer online deathmatch, and I was a freaking beast. I would get wired on like caffeine and I'd sit there for like 12 hours playing people online until my eyes were bleeding with like tears, so I couldn't keep my eyes open and I might dial up, so my dad's like, get off the damn phone. He's like, get off the line. I gotta make a call. I'm like, I have one more level. He's like, you cannot see straight. He's like, get off the line. I'm sitting there like all jittery and stuff. It's hilarious. But yeah, the game was just atrocious, and the voice acting for it was terrible. Oh. It was not even the original voice actors. It's Megatron goes, yes, and it's like really bad. It's not even like the real, it's not even close. It was like, come on,
I could do better than that.
He was going, yes, or Megatron, transform. And I'm like, really? I was like, this sucks. So
somebody make it stop.
Yeah, I was about to gouge my ears out, but I played on mute mostly. And then they had the Transformers Beast Wars Transmetals game that came out for the 64.
I remember seeing that. I had never played it, but I do remember seeing it.
Well, it came out for the PlayStation as well. The premise of that one was basically it was a fighter. I never had it. I always wanted it. And then by the time I had the availability to get it, and I've actually seen it. I don't actually have any of the systems anymore, so. But you can play as...
I never had any of those systems, so I can't really play those type of games.
You could play as pretty much all the guys from Season 2. Although, they had Ravage in there. They had Pterosaur and still in the game. They had Starscream, which was Waspinator. It was Starscream colors on a Waspinator body.
Ooh, I would buy that.
and then you had Megatron X, which was like some kind of a weird golden Megatron with wings.
Yeah, it's the Japanese version.
And I thought that was kind of cool when I saw the pictures of it. But they actually got the voices of the actors.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
I wish I'd played that one. And then the other game I'd played, which was a... I had it bootleg for a while. It was a Game Boy Color game. I had an emulator for it. And it was like little like chibi like short versions of the characters from Beast Wars, Beast Wars 2, and Beast Wars Neo. So
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
It's weird.
Huh.
It's a fighter. I mean, it's really, really cheesy. I was pretty decent at it, which was the sad part.
So for these fighters, can they actually transform, or is it just the robot fighting?
Nope, you can fight and transform.
Yeah.
So it was kind of neat. But
Well, right, you just sent me a link, and it looks like this is a Japanese game.
It was.
With like Lyo Convoy.
Yeah, and you had the G2 Megatron in there, which is Megastorm, but I used to play as him.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Terrible.
You could play as Cheetor, Primal, Megatron. Like, it's terrible.
Oh, wow. This is like Mega Man level graphics here.
It is.
Yeah.
I could almost hear the Mega Man theme song music in my head.
It actually had that kind of music.
Oh. Wow. And it's got Star Upper. The only people who remember Star Upper is like Derek Wyatt.
And Proto Man.
He's like, gotta have Star Upper and Animated Man. It's like, who the hell is Star Upper? Oh, that's funny.
He's a kangaroo.
Yeah, is he?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's even better. Oh man.
It was fun though. I mean, as little as I played it, it was more fun than the other Beast Wars games.
Yeah.
I wish I'd played the PlayStation one, but yeah, that was my exposure with the games.
I didn't have any Transformer games until the Armada game, and I specifically bought a PS2 to play that.
That was such a revolutionary game at the time.
It was. It was amazing. It was a great game. I played the hell out of that game. And well. I think that was the only game I had for the PlayStation 2. Yeah.
I had that.
The
Mega Man games. Until we bought a
Wii. Mega Man games?
Yeah, the Mega Man X games.
Okay. You X know what? To be honest, I wasn't a huge Mega Man fan when it was, you know, on Nintendo. When I was younger,
I didn't like the actual Mega Man. I liked the X because he had better powers and you could climb walls. And
okay,
it wasn't one hit KO.
Yeah, yeah, those are really hard.
No, it was like 3-hit KO.
Yeah, well, back in the day, it was like, yeah, I'm gonna rent this game and play it for a weekend, and I'd beat
and
one
die.
Level. Like, yeah, I would literally beat like one boss out of 8 and go. Yeah, I'm taking this back and never renting it again. This sucks ass. I mean, some people like that. I mean, if you get it for Christmas and you play it for 6 months straight and it's like, yeah, I beat it. Awesome. Well, that's great, but I had it for 3 days.
So, as far as Beast Wars is concerned, since we've jumped opposite direction, what were some of the early toys that you remember getting? I know you have all of them, but...
Yeah, that's actually an interesting story. When my wife and I, you know, first started dating and such, we would go recreational shopping. And this would mean, you know, we'd find ourselves in a mall, like within 50 miles away, but, you know, not too far that we couldn't drive there in a couple hours. And we'd just go shopping. And this extended into, in the summertime, you know, in the mornings we would do garage sales, you know, as recreational shopping, and we just, you know, like, hey, you know, this is cute. And we used to buy a lot of like, oh hell, candles and picture frames, because you know that's what you get when you don't really have a permanent place of your own. This is before we bought a house. So, digressing. We were walking down the street at this neighborhood garage sale, and this kid is on his lawn with this box of Beast Wars. And we walked up and I'm like, you know, this is cool. You know, I was a big fan of Transformers when I was your age. You know, but I've never seen this type before. What can you tell me about these? And he goes, well, this is Cheetor. And let me show you how to transform him. And he's transforming him. And he's like, oh, yeah, and this is K-9. Let me show you how he transforms. And he's transforming him. And these are, you know, deluxe-sized guys probably from the, you know, first or second year. And he had maybe half a dozen in this box. And I'm like, well, how much? And he's like, well, you know, I'll sell them to you for $1 each. And I'm like, how about $10 for the whole box? And he's like, heck yeah, you know. Because clearly, you know, this kid didn't want to part with Cheetor. His mom was making him sell his toys, and I felt kind of bad for him. And I like Transformers. I just didn't have any of these particular ones. And they were all complete. There wasn't anything wrong with them. He took really good care of his toys. So yeah, I stole all these toys from some kid for $10.
It's no different than you going into the back room at Target. So, I mean, you know, you've been stealing all your life.
Yeah, that's right. You guys got toys, don't you? I'm looking for toys. It's not that bad. It's not like I like I kicked the kid or anything. Give me that box. And sadly, like, you know, after that, every time we went out to garage sales, I'd look for more Transformers. And, you know, we never found any after that. People, you know, hoard them or something.
Kind of like you.
Kind of like me. Yeah.
Because you don't only just have, and this is not necessarily going off topic, but you don't not only just have a giant display case, you know, display shelves, but you have like a whole closet stacked full of stuff you don't even open.
I've got a closet full of boxed, mint and box stuff. I've got huge display cabinets full of everything. And then I don't think I sent you pictures, but I have another I took one wall and I cleared it out so that I'd have more shelving.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I have cubbies now. They're like.
So let me ask you this. Back when we were doing the Beast Unleashed podcast, when you still had all those toys, are they still the same box toys from then, or are they different?
What do you mean, the ones in the closet?
Yeah.
I think a lot of them are the same. I may have. Because, I mean, wow. I think even back then I had the closet pretty well full.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, because right now, yeah, I'm looking in here and it's like, did I add anything? I've got a lot of Prime boxes in here now, the empty ones, because I pulled all those toys out for the boys to play with. But behind those, you know, I've still got Robots in Disguise. I got Energon. I got some R.I.D. stuff. I got movie stuff. Oh, looking back here, I got a lot of Japanese stuff. I got a lot of animated stuff. Yeah. And then just boxes and boxes of stuff. And I even have some Beast Wars in here put away. I know I've got a Waspinator and a Dinobot mint in package, or mint on card, I should say, that are boxed away somewhere. They're not on the shelf.
Wow.
Yeah. They're back there. I mean, you know, just got a lot of stuff and not enough storage space. My wife's been getting on my case to, you know, put a lot of this stuff away. I've got stacks and stacks of stuff that I never bothered to take out of the box. And she's like, you got to do something with that. I want to see the floor in your room. And I'm like, too much crap. That's what these extra shelves are for. But unfortunately, yeah. You know, I honestly haven't populated the shelves yet. I haven't put anything on the shelves because my boys will take stuff off the shelves and play with them. So most of the toys are on the floor. I have an awful lot of Prime toys on the floor. Wow. And yeah, all over the floor. And that's why my wife is upset with me. She's like, you know, clean up your office. And like, I do. But I'm going to have to put plexiglass over the new shelves because the kids, you know, I don't know. I let them play with my toys, but yeah. They're supposed to pick them up afterward.
For me, with the Beast Wars toys, I had seen them. Wasn't like I was still in the denial phase in my early teens that, oh no, G1 isn't over. It's just gone away for a while, you know. But obviously, it was over. And I had seen a lot of them. Once I think the Transmetals hit, I really kind of liked, you know, the Cheetor there and the Megatron and that kind of stuff, but I never really had any of the Beast Wars toys as a teenager, because by then I was out of toy collecting.
Yeah.
I was out of playing with toys, so, yeah. It's what happens when you get old.
Get old. Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Do you remember service merchandise?
Sadly, yes.
Okay. Yeah, this was like a department store that was open long, long ago. But they had a service merchandise in the area. And I remember when they were going out of business, Christy and I went in there and we bought like a blender. It was like a $100 blender. We got it for like $20 and some other stuff for our new place, you know, because this was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But they had a toy selection. The toy section had a lot of the Fusors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a whole, like, the Fusor, apparently they're all peg warmers because they couldn't sell, and they were all half off. I got a lot of them. And what was the, crap, someone's going to correct me here, but they had one that was, like, part fish and part bee.
Injector?
It might have been. but they had like 50 of them and they couldn't sell them because they were so damn ugly.
Yeah, that was a shell farmer for sure.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell is this? You know, it was robot mode. It was a giant barracuda head or something. I have no idea what this is. Like, this is ugly as hell. But I bought all the rest of them. Yeah, I made sure to get like one of each. So I had, you know, a lot of the later lines. The tail end of the Beast Wars line, I should say. And I had to go back in after the fact a couple years later and get the earlier stuff.
Yeah.
My brother actually had that Injector.
Oh, did he?
It was a top-heavy piece of shit.
just crap upon crap.
It was crap.
Some of those were cool, though. Some of the Fusors were cool, I mean.
Yeah, some of them. I liked, even though it was basic, I liked Bantor.
Yeah,
the baboon. I had that one.
Yeah, those ones still had the spring loaded gimmick.
That one I don't think really did. I mean, it had a spring loaded arm that shot out and punched stuff.
Oh, okay. So they didn't have the early
transform was kind of odd.
Okay, no, like you're right. Head, you're right. I'm wrong.
His head was the shoulder.
Yeah,
or the hand or something.
No, you're totally right because I'm looking at Bantor right now. He's got. Yeah, he's got something going on with his shoulder there.
Bantor sounds like a minion of Skeletor or something or other. Injector has the worst smile I've ever seen.
He's awful.
The toy. I'm looking at the image on the TF Wiki, and the toy in robot mode, that is going to be the smilest Transformer out of all 30 years of toys.
I've
got a shitty grin.
Yeah, it's like the later Beast Wars stuff is on like a really low shelf, and I'm practically like sitting on the ground trying to see in here. I see Bantor though. Yeah, he was part baboon, part tiger.
So Optimus Primal and Tigatron had a baby. Great.
It's an orange tiger.
He's orange.
So Rampage was involved somewhere along the way.
Oh,
he's indestructible, baby.
So what do we know about the, oh crap, what was it called? There was a subline at the very end that had no robot mode.
Machine Wars?
No, there was two, each one had two beast modes. The mutants. That's what they were called.
Oh, the mutants.
They even had their own insignia. So they weren't Maximal, they weren't Predacon, they were
Icebird, Poison Bite, Razor Claw, and Soundwave.
Yeah.
Soundwave, I swear to God, was a copyright reason.
Yeah, no, they had to name him that in order to hold on to the name. Otherwise, they would have lost. Because he was an owl. I think he was an owl. Was he not an owl?
Funny because.
He was an owl alligator. No, wait, that was a different one.
It's funny because these robots are supposed to be somehow something from the Oracle.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also supposed to have taken place during Beast Machines.
Yeah, so it's like they were triple changers, but they lost their robot mode. And if you like try to transform them, you can see their head inside. It's like, look, their head's still in there. It's creepy. I guess they made four of them. I thought that I read somewhere that they were supposed to make more, but nobody bought them. So you've got like this assload of mutants and Injector sitting on a shelf.
Soundwave was an alligator bat. A batigator.
A batigator? Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one was an owl and a polar bear.
Right. The owl was Prowl.
Prowl. No. The transmetal owl was Prowl, not the mutant owl.
Well, they also had Prowl and the Magnaboss.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I had the Magnaboss. That's funny.
I had Magnaboss.
Yeah, I had Magnaboss and the other one. Could not figure out their transformations to save my life. I had to reference photos, get them in roughly what they're supposed to look like, and just leave them there.
Icebird was the other owl you were talking about.
Yeah. That's right.
Basically.
Those are cool. They're neat. They have they're neat robot modes. It's just a shame that they don't.
Icebird actually looks like a cross between Air Razor and the Cat's Lair from the 85 Thundercats cartoon.
It does. That's cool.
What are you going to say, Steve?
Well, I was going to say, before I get into that, my first figure was actually...
Megatron.
It was actually Optimus Primal.
Wow.
Which is funny because I actually used to go around as Optimus Primal on the web for a while before I became Megatron.
But what was the bat named Optimus Primal, or did they not name it that?
The bat was named Optimus Primal. I did not have that one. My brother actually had that and the Alligator Megatron.
Yeah.
My first out of that lineup I had was Cheetor out of the first wave.
Yeah.
I also had Iguanus and the repaint of Dinobot of Grimlock.
Yeah.
Because
it's Grimlock. Grimlock.
Yeah. It was white. It's a white Dinobot. He's Grimlock.
I thought it was cool.
I liked it. I had it for a while, and then I also had the Megatron one, the dinosaur. And then pretty much it went right into the Transmetals and got the Optimus and Megatron Transmetals from that, and Tarantulas, and ended up with an Inferno, and not Scavenger.
Yeah, Scavenger was another shelf warmer.
Yeah, and the Transmetal 2s, I had... Dinobot and Megatron.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I actually still have some of these.
You know, with this whole 30th anniversary thing going on and Beast Wars' 20th anniversary is coming up in a couple of years, I really hope they redo Rat Trap from Beast Machines. I know we'll talk about Beast Machines next time, but I'm going through some of these toys, some of the mutant versions, and I'm looking at, because if you click on the name in the TF Wiki, it takes you to the direct character article, so you have to scroll all the way down to get to the toys.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Rat Trap from Beast Machines, and he deserves so much better.
Well, honestly, it just wasn't a very attractive character in the show. And they really did their best as far as building something out of that.
Yeah, I thought he was cool, but what do I know?
Well, they actually, the funny thing is the new 30th anniversary of Transformers, they actually managed to get Rat Trap and Rhinox and Waspinator correct.
Yep, Generations, yep.
I'm actually going to try and seek out some of them, but I'm definitely impressed.
Yeah, I'm looking at Rat Trap now. He looks awesome.
He does look really good. Yeah,
yeah. I'm
impressed with that. The Tankor they have coming out looks pretty good.
Yeah, that looks pretty accurate.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I dig the original. You know, the original Beast Machines toys did look anything like the cartoons. They weren't cartoon accurate at all. But they still look pretty cool. I mean, that's a nice-looking tank, even if it's not Tankor. It's got a lot of neat gimmicks on it. It's a lot of fun to play with, even if it's not Tankor. And then when they finally did come out with the Tankor, he was like a basic size. It just wasn't very satisfying.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there.
Yeah.
So but what's some of your favorite lineups of the different figures? Like, as far as feature-wise, like whether it be the original line or the Transmetal, Transmetal 2, Fusor?
Mine's got to be the Transmetals. I love those. They were bright and shiny.
The paint flakes right off.
But no, I thought it was an interesting design choice between the show and the toys between season one and season two, because in season one you have all these, you know, basic, you know, not necessarily basic, but you have all these I'd call it a matte finish,
yeah,
and then I'd probably call the Transmetal stuff like a glossy finish, and it looked so much better to me. The toys looked so much cooler for the Transmetals than the originals did to me.
I'll buy that. Yeah, I see what you're talking about. I liked the early basic toys. I think we talked about this before, but they have that spring-loaded gimmick where it's kind of like the some of the earlier G2 toys, and which transition into some of the Machine Wars toys. Like all your Seeker Jets from your Cyber Jets from Machine Wars and G2, where, you know, that there's a trigger that you hit and they basically just flip open, and then you got to move their feet so that they stand up. And, you know, that wouldn't work on a larger figure because it'd be kind of lame, but for these little basic size guys, it works really well. And you know, essentially where the transformation is, I stand up. You know, there's not a whole lot going on. Most of those guys, the little basics, were shell formers anyway, where, like, if you look at the first Rat Trap, his head folds down as a chest, and his sides open up almost into, like wings, you know? And he's got these little rat feet hanging off the side of the wings. And then inside, there's his arms and his legs. And you just take your fingers and pull them forward. And the spring-loaded gimmick is literally flipping open the wings and letting the animal head fold down into his chest.
Well, a lot of the gimmicks, it was either you pull on their head or their tail and it would just pop the rest of them in place.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I literally got like a dozen of those and they're cool. I mean, I like that. I think that there's a lot of play value there. And you think, oh, this is simple, you know, but they made them out of a certain type of plastic that was really sturdy. And it's not like I have any of them that broke. I've seen knockoffs that break at the drop of a hat. I've seen, like I said, crappy knockoffs. But the ones that came from Hasbro or Takara, for that matter, you know, they hold up pretty well. And all of them had weapons that would stow away in the wings or in the back of their legs. So you would have like a gun and like a silencer that would make it or turn it into a rifle that would break in half, and then the pieces would stow away somewhere on the body. And there's ball joints everywhere, so they're really poseable. So I mean, if the last time you were playing with a Transformer was sometime in, I don't know, 87, 88, and you had like, here's my Headmaster brick, it's articulated in the elbows, or not, no, I'm sorry, they didn't have elbows, they had shoulders. It's articulated articulating the shoulders, and they have to move at the hips just because the thing folds in half as part of his transformation, you know. And you put that down and you pick up one of these new Beast Wars, you know, new in 96, right? Pick up one of these new Beast Wars basics, and you know, these guys can squat. They can raise their arms above their head. They can bend their elbows. You know, they can turn their head from side to side. It's like, wow, this is a miracle of modern engineering. And all of them could do that. And they were tiny.
Speaking of tiny, until we get the Generations Tankor, the only thing closest in cartoon accuracy was the Robot Heroes version with Cheetor.
Oh. Right. I was about to say, do I have that?
You probably do somewhere.
No, I've actually got the Robot Heroes toys sitting over on my desk. I'm looking at the Cheetor and Black Arachnia set.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I do. I got Rattrap Megatron, Optimus Primal, Predacon, Waspinator and Rhinox.
I think I'm going to have to get my hands on the 30th anniversary Rattrap.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool.
It's so show accurate. He's got his two guns and he's got his belly bombs.
Yep.
He's got the in his arm?
Yes.
Yep.
It is cool. Yeah.
Yep.
It's really good.
Cool. It's so detailed.
I really like that new Rhinox.
Yeah, the new Rhinox looks really good. I'm hoping that they will do a Dark Designs repaint. Hey, we didn't get it originally. Why not now?
I doubt it will ever happen. But
I doubt it will ever happen. But at the same time, Hasbro doesn't normally make a new mold and not repaint it.
See?
So who knows? Would be cool to see.
Yeah. Like, if they do, I don't know what other plans they have for 30th to do generation stuff, but if they did a new Black Arachnia, I would want the silver version from the Trigger when she went silver and put that headdress on when they were on the secret island.
Mm. Of Misfit Toys?
Yes. I'm trying to think here. What is your all's connection with the comics? Because there have been a ton of comics for Beast Wars.
Not nearly as many as you'd think.
Well, there have been more than three, so there you go.
More than three. There's only been two sagas.
Name them.
Yeah, there's only been two sagas. You had the 3H saga, and then you had the post 3H saga for BotCon.
What, you're talking to the Universe ones?
Yeah. Still Beast Wars.
Not really. It was Universe. It encompassed everything. That's like saying the Collectors Club comics were Beast Wars, even though they covered everything.
Yeah. I seem to remember there being a halfway decent Beast Wars story that tried to tie in a lot of the characters that were toys but not part of the show.
Primeval Dawn.
Is that what it was? Okay.
I think so. They were going to animate it at one point.
Oh, really?
That was one of four of the...
But like they introduced a lot of the Fusors as characters. Mm-hmm. And then there was a lot of the Japanese characters that showed up. I want to say it's like there was like some in Cybertron. God, it was so long ago. I don't remember. I think only like two issues out of four of that got actually published.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, and it was like after the fact, Simon Furman was going, "Well, this is how the story would have ended."
Yeah,
posting it on his blog or something.
Yeah, and they had the Wreckers one and everything else, and everything took place during Beast Machines and.
Yeah.
It was an interesting story. It was one of the few interesting stories to come out of Dreamwave.
And then, of course, we have the Beast Wars, the Gathering, and the Ascending from IDW.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
Those were fairly recent. Those were like 2006 timeline. 2006, 2007.
Yeah, I spent a long time there just kind of ignoring the comics. I had bought a lot of those early Dreamwave comics, but the stories were just so bad, and I kind of lost interest.
Well, I collected the Dreamwave mostly for the art.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't for the story, it was because I enjoyed the art, whereas IDW has better writing, but I don't like the art, so I don't actually buy Dreamwave, or IDW. I'm interested in the Regeneration 1, but like I said before, but... I don't care for the rest of it. I did buy the Ascending and the Gathering, which essentially is all the stasis pods that are left. are reawakened.
Oh, cool.
You have Magmatron, which is a Predacon general, who is down there to wake up the pods and create an army, essentially. And Razor Beast from Beast Wars 2 with Leo Convoy awaken half the pods. And then they find Ravage's body and resurrect him. And he's like a Transmetal 2 Cheetor, but he doesn't. He's still got the like cheetah head for his head. So it's kind of interesting seeing that kind of play out in the Ascending kind of, like the Gathering Magmatron and all of everybody else is like phase shifted, so they're like 2-3 seconds ahead of the timeline of the regular Beast Wars. So essentially, this group can see our regular Beast Wars, but they can't see the other ones. So they can watch kind of history play out. And Magmatron's trying to arrest Megatron through that by bringing him into the current time.
Yeah.
But they foil that plan and he ends up going back. And then the Ascending, you eventually see Megatron in his Transmetal form land on Cybertron after everything's been decimated because of some catastrophic event that happens in the Ascending. And they bring like Shockerack into it and all the BotCon exclusive characters that kind of come into play.
Give them a little Unicron legitimacy.
And everything else.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, I'll say that. And then it kind of explains how easily Megatron was able to take Cybertron over and why.
Yeah.
So it's a nice bridging of the gap.
That would be cool to see.
And then, of course, we have the timelines.
Yep. Dawn of Futures Past and Razor's Edge.
And causing the theft of the Golden Disk and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's too bad we can't find copies of those.
Oh, I'm sure you could.
Well, I mean, if I really wanted to go hunt for them, I'm just saying. I want to go to a bookstore that's closing and get like half off a trade paperback. Because I'm lazy.
Funny.
And cheap.
No comment.
I have a copy of Days of Futures Past left. I did have 3 copies at one point, but I only have 1 left. And then Razor's Edge, I've actually never read.
I don't even remember. Was that the 2009 set?
When it's 2007.
Did... Oh, 2007, okay.
They're saying it's Beast Wars continuity, and it's like Air Razor, and it's got Wing Saber and some other characters, and Tripredicus Council, and it's something to do with all that. I'm not too familiar with it. But I know it's got like Chromia and some other Wing Saber and some of those kind of characters.
Huh.
But then they somehow reintroduce Megatron back into it.
Would be Transformers to let Megatron.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's like a false Megatron, and I don't know. It's real weird. Convoluted mess. I don't count it. It is not in continuity. I thought you'd like that. So yeah, So
okay then.
Going back to Theft of the Golden Disk, what did you guys think about that again?
I liked it. I thought it was interesting. I almost now want to see more of the time before Megatron stole it. I want to see what Cybertron was like before we had to go do the Beast Wars.
I think it was a blatant toy commercial.
You would.
Well, if you want to argue that, every single cartoon is.
I suppose, but it's like, hey, I got an idea. You know, let's make these, you know, exclusive figures, you know, cool. You know, what I didn't like is that they didn't make all of them in the toys. Because there's a lot of figures there that showed up that I want to say they turned like Laserbeak into one of the Seeker Jets. Or I'm sorry, one of the Cyber Jets. I can't remember exactly. And I've got all those exclusive toys put away now. But a lot of those figures, a lot of those characters in that comic became toys. And then some of them didn't, but it would have been really cool to see them.
I agree.
But yeah, I remember that. I remember going to BotCon and they were selling the golden discs. I want to say it was like Unicron.com. The Lucas brothers were.
Yeah, those guys had some pretty cool exclusives over the years.
Yeah, so they had like an accessory pack. And they had an accessory pack for Beast Machines and an accessory pack, I want to say, for Beast Wars. And one of them had the golden disc in it.
They had, what was it? They had one of the golden disc spinner things that Megatron had.
Oh, that you could replace his hand with?
Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody ended up breaking their Megatron.
I used to be able to pop that part of it off. It's the part of the Megatron that would break was the part of the chest.
Did yours ever break?
My Megatron? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. The cheap hinge on the inside of the chest that folds in with the arms.
Yeah.
It would always snap. I had two of them and the same problem on both.
I transformed mine like once or twice and then left it alone, so I'm not going to bother to break it. Oh, I mean, seriously, you read about these and you're like, holy crap, you know.
I wish I would have never transformed the one again, but
well, yeah, good luck finding one now.
Yeah, they're expensive. I've looked. I'll wait for the reissue redesign of it in 2016.
Yeah,
if they ever have one.
What was it? Was it the 10th anniversary that they reissued
Dinobot, Waspinator, Rhinox.
Yeah. Toys R Us had a 2-pack with Optimus Primal and Megatron, the purple Megatron. Except they were repainted and they were a little more show accurate. And I still got the Megatron on my shelf here. And he just looks really, really cool. It's just a really cool toy.
I wish I had had the money at the time to buy the 2-pack.
Mm.
I had the original renditions.
Oh, and he's still got a squirt gun in his mouth. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Yeah, so no, I mean, it's a fun toy. I like it. I'm going to put him back on the shelf. There we go.
So, yeah, they also had three kind of, missing episodes as well from the series.
Missing
episodes. Are we talking about the ones that were written and not produced?
Or thought of.
Okay.
Or mentioned.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yes. Yeah, they had a list of three unproduced Beast Wars episodes. One of them was a Greater Ape. Which, again, is an Optimus Primal episode that was supposed to be. It was basically come up with by Bob Ford and Larry DiTilio. And they said at BotCon 98 that Primal... after a blow to the head, believed himself to be an actual gorilla and ingratiated himself into a group of gorillas, romancing a female ape until an attack by Megatron on the gorillas brought him back to his senses.
They wanted to turn Optimus Primal into Grape Ape. I cannot believe this.
Well, what was going to happen is basically they were turning it into the one where Tigertron falls in love with Snowstalker. And then it into the one where they get locked into their beast modes, and then the one of guerrilla warfare. It's like mixing all three into one.
they'd be like, I've seen this before.
That's what I thought when I was reading it first time.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's one called Bitch Wars.
Do I want to know?
It was brought up in the same one. It was supposed to be like a ladies' night out episode with Eraser and Black Arachnia leaving their factions for one reason or another and banding together.
Oh my god.
What did they do?
I don't want to know.
Well, they formed together, creating a third party.
No.
Oh.
It was third parties.
Third party.
We worked both sides.
The ladies went out to chipping bots.
Rat Trap was there.
Rat Trap's always there.
Rat Trap's always there.
Man, they get this nice hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
And then, of course, the most famous out of the three, Dark Glass.
Dark Glass. Dark Glass, yep.
Yes. Which and probably has the most...
Still
notability.
Trying to make one.
What's that?
I said only because they're still trying to make one.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are trying to make one. I'm a part of that initiative.
Whatever happened to that? Shouldn't that be
they're still working
out?
On it, actually. It's come a long way. They've actually had some advancements with the animation stuff. They actually have the character models down to a T. Like, it's exactly mainframe, and some of them are actually... a notch above mainframe.
I was going to say, it's been 15 years. They better be a lot better.
Well, they're trying to match mainframe to at least make the episode on par, but some characters are taking a little bit of liberty with to better, i.e. like Rampage and some other characters like that. But for the most part, they're all pretty much spot on of what you'd expect.
Now, are they adding characters in? Because I wouldn't expect that to have so many characters in it.
Being that there are the original script and then there's this version of the script, which is... I will say that this version of Dark Glass encompasses... I have to be careful how I word this, but it encompasses...
Yes, you do.
It encompasses part of what the original script would have, but it's also based off of that old CG comic that somebody did back in 99 after hearing about the premise of it.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of who did it, but...
I've never seen that either.
I've got a copy of it somewhere. But... Essentially, they took that story and then retrofitted it with more of everything that they've heard of the official Dark Glass, and then, but it's still kind of more of an original take. But it also wraps up all of the loose ends of Beast Wars that were kind of mentioned but never fully realized.
Okay.
I will say that there will be some guest appearances by certain characters in
why don't you tell everybody your Scott McNeil story from TFCon?
Which one would that be?
Didn't he say something to you? Oh, what? Why can't we be on it? Aren't you guys doing two versions?
Hopefully. The concept is we're hoping to have it done for the 20th anniversary of Beast Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, they've got actually a lot of the scenes kind of thrown together. Most of what the time's been is getting all of the stuff rigged and getting all the models made.
Right.
Like some of the scenery is going to be a lot better than the original.
One would hope.
It's going to be like the lighting and a lot of the, but again, there's only so many people working on the animation of it, so it's kind of going at their pace. We bumped into the guy that's heading the project and myself both bumped into Scott McNeil at TFCon 2 years ago.
Cool.
And not only did we get some of the prints signed from the actual project, but we ended up talking to him. He's going to try and rally some, not Scott, the guy that's heading our project, is going to try and rally some of the voice actors to reprise their roles, at least for the official video.
Yeah.
When it gets done, and then we're going to have our own voice track of everybody I cast. So, should be interesting when it gets done. But, again, that'll get updated on Geekcast Radio once it eventually shows up.
Yep.
Neat. There's a website for it, though, darkglassproject.com, to keep very up cool with it. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of lost track of it. It was like, oh, this will be cool. When's it coming out? Oh, 10 years from now. Oh. Never
it's
mind,
coming
man.
Out 2016. We've only been working on it since 2010.
Yeah.
It's like, 4 years too short. Yeah,
sure. Yeah. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, it's getting closer. I've actually been impressed with how much stuff I've seen so far, being that I'm one of the Tripredicus Council. I get to see things.
Well, cool.
So.
Very cool.
They really should put more of that out, though. Like, oh, look, we get a picture of this now. And, oh, look, you know, check this out. There's stuff actually happening here.
Yeah. It will come with time, so.
Yeah, I remember when they were putting things out pretty regularly. And it's like, oh, look, here's an animation model of Cheetor walking, you know. And, oh, look, here's Megatron looking back and forth with his dinosaur head or something. And I was like, oh, that's
actually have,
pretty cool.
There's actually a video that's put out about a month ago of Dinobot pushing Rat Trap up against a tree, going die vermin, and then you have the chain gun of doom behind them shooting at him.
okay.
It's they slam up against, and Rhinox says, "You first." Shoots him. And it's kind of like a quick res of it. They didn't put out the full quality one, but right. It's. You know, that's YouTube, so.
Yeah.
True.
It'd still be neat, though.
Yes.
We need to see.
I will put that in the show notes.
All right, really quickly, what are each of your top three favorite episodes from Beast Wars?
Go, Michael.
You can expect me to remember? Hell, I don't know.
What the links are for, you dumbass.
Oh, man, it was only forever ago. Come on.
When did we record that?
How long ago? I wasn't the guy who watched every damn episode all over again last week. So.
No, it was actually, when did I do that? That was July of last year.
I think, last time I watched them was the last time we reviewed them, so it was a long time ago.
Steve.
If you really want me to look, I'll go back and look.
I would probably say I like Coming of the Fusors Part 2, because Primal comes back and kicks ass.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoy that. I enjoy Possession, because... Mm-hmm. It's Starscream.
Starscream.
Right.
I'm listing five. I don't care.
Okay, I don't.
I like Optimal Situation because you get the arc and you get Primal becoming optimal.
Yeah.
Then there's Master Blaster, Megatron getting his upgrade to the Dragon. And then I love Nemesis Part 2 because it's just, it's Transformers scripture back and forth between Primal and Megatron until one... falls and one rises.
Yeah. For me, it would probably have to be The Low Road, The Agenda, Parts 1 through 3, The Feral Scream 2-parter, and Optimal Situation.
Are you the only one that liked The Low Road? Because
I think so. Who likes the low road?
Mike.
Nobody said Code of Hero?
I enjoy that one.
I enjoy it, but like for these purposes, to kind of wrap this up, I don't know.
Oh. Yeah.
That would be my number six. There's so many good episodes.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many good episodes, but I was, you know. All right.
You can't like so, but you can't quote for most of them, you know, so.
Decepticons forever. There's one quote.
Decepticons forever!
That's not Russian enough. Tell my tale to those who ask. Tell it truly, the ill deeds along
with good. Tell it truly.
And let me be judged accordingly. Oh.
Go ahead, Michael.
No, good stuff. Good stuff.
I think we're done with Beast Wars, Steve.
Yes, I think so. So thank you for listening to All Things Transformers version 2.0. And catch us next time when we'll talk about Beast Machines.
Taken over Transformers Prime Time. Call me Lord.
No, Starscream, we will not call you Lord, but we will announce that the GCRN is bringing everyone Transformers Prime Time. That's right, before we get into the TFG1 redone, we enter the Prime Universe. Join your hosts, TFG1 Mike, Steve Megatron, Optimus Solo, and Peacon Court Michael as they cover all 65 episodes of Transformers Prime. The comics, the toys, and more. We will also have a commentary on Predacons Rising, interviews with writers, voice actors, and more. All in the latest Transformers review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network, you can find TF Primetime on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. And remember,
one shall stand and one shall fall.
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Yeah.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.